Penguin Random House Audio presents Tools and Weapons, The Promise and the Peril of the Digital Age by Brad Smith and Carol Ann Brown. Read by Brad Smith, with a foreword by Bill Gates, read by Carol Ann Brown. This is Brad Smith. To our mothers.
Neither is here to read this.
But their appreciation for books helped inspire us to write it.
A foreword by Bill Gates. I first turned to Brad Smith for advice during the toughest time in my professional life. 2 decades later, I haven't stopped. Brad joined Microsoft's legal team in 1993, but we really got to know each other in the late 1990s during the U.S. government's antitrust suit against the company. We spent countless hours working side by side. I could see right away what a sophisticated thinker he was. I came to like Brad as a person and to trust his judgment as a professional. Brad shaped our legal strategy during the lawsuit, and then he did something else that was at least as important. He ushered in a big cultural and strategic shift at the company. That shift is at the heart of this book. In the early days of Microsoft, I prided myself on how little time we spent talking to people in the federal government. I would tell people, isn't it great that we can be successful and not even have an office in D.C.? As I learned the hard way during the antitrust suit, this was not a wise position to take. After the case was settled, Brad persuaded me and a lot of other people at Microsoft that we needed to take a different approach. Then he showed us how to make it happen. Brad is a lawyer, not a software developer, and although he has a great command of technology, he didn't think quite the same way as the rest of us. I mean this as a compliment. He saw that we needed to put more time and energy into connecting with different constituencies, including the government, our partners, and sometimes even our competitors. Brad would have made a great diplomat, which makes sense given his early interest in international relations. It says a lot about Brad that his thinking was not limited to Microsoft's own self-interest. He recognized the central importance of technology and the policies that affect it, and he concluded that staying on the sidelines wasn't just a mistake for our company, it was a mistake for the industry. Although there would be times when we would need to go it alone, there would be many others. For example, when artificial intelligence, facial recognition, and cybersecurity are involved, when we all have much more to gain from working with one another. As he argues in this book, there are also times when it's in everyone's interest for the government to step in with more regulation. Brad is self-aware enough to see the irony of a business leader asking for more government rules rather than fewer. To that end, he knew that Microsoft and other tech companies needed to engage more with leaders in the United States, Europe, and elsewhere. My days of bragging about not having an office in D.C. were over. Brad's vision has never been more relevant. Governments around the world are taking a hard look at many technology companies and at the industry as a whole. How is their technology being used? What impact is it having? What responsibilities do tech companies have? How should governments and the broader community think about these issues? Although these are not the same questions we faced 20 years ago, the insights that Brad had back then are just as valuable today. Take, for example, the issues raised by facial recognition technology. This isn't yet a big topic for public debate, but it will be. What limits should software companies put on the use of their facial recognition tools? How should the industry think about this? And what kind of government regulations make sense? Brad has led the way in anticipating these questions and creating partnerships to discuss them. The tech industry will need to come together, working with customers and governments around the world. It may not be possible to get everyone on board, but if we let things fragment so that the rules vary hugely from country to country, it won't be good for customers, the tech industry, or society. Tools and Weapons covers an impressive range of 15 issues, including cybersecurity, the diversity of the IT workforce, and the relationship between the United States and China. If I had to pick the most important chapter, it would be the one on privacy. The ability to collect huge amounts of data is a double-edged sword. On the one hand, it empowers governments, businesses and individuals to make better decisions. On the other hand, it raises big questions about how we can use that data while protecting people's right to privacy. Yet, as Brad shows, while the technology is relatively new, the questions themselves are not. People have been wrestling with one version or another of this problem for centuries. Although you may expect a chapter about data privacy to touch on the way Nazi Germany collected information on its own people, you might not expect it to also mention the War of 1812 or give you a quick history of mutual legal assistance treaties. That shows you Brad's wide-ranging interests and his ability to go deep on almost any subject. But none of it comes off as a dull legal brief. Brad and his co-author are great storytellers who give you an insider's view of what it's like to hammer out these issues in real time, in conference halls and in courtrooms around the world. Brad is not just sitting back and analyzing things. He's bringing people together to find solutions. Brad and I are in constant contact about these issues, in person and over email. I still rely on his wisdom and judgment today. Given his experience and intelligence, you could not ask for a better guide to thinking through the questions facing the technology industry now. These issues are becoming only more important. Tools and Weapons offers a clear view of the questions raised by new technologies and a potential path forward for tech companies and for society. Brad has written a clear, compelling guide to some of the most pressing debates in technology today. Bill Gates, April 2019.
Introduction. The Cloud, the World's Filing Cabinet. Civilization has always run on data. Human history began when people developed the ability to speak. With the invention of language, people could share their ideas, experiences, wants, and needs. Progress accelerated as people developed the ability to write. Ideas spread more easily and accurately, not just from person to person, but from place to place. Then came the spark that created the flame of knowledge. The ability to store, retrieve, and share what people had written. A hallmark of the ancient world became the construction of libraries. These archives of documents and books meant that people could communicate more readily, not just across space, but across time, passing information from one generation to the next. Centuries later, when Johannes Gutenberg invented the mechanical printing press, the flame became a fire that empowered writers and readers alike. That fire would sweep the world. The ensuing centuries produced an explosion in commerce that was both cause and consequence of increasing communication. By the early 20th century, every office needed a facility to store documents. Rooms were filled with filing cabinets. While data has always been important to society, it has never played the role it does today. Even when trade slows or economies falter, data continues to grow at a steady pace. Some say that data has become the oil of the 21st century, but that understates the reality. A century ago, automobiles, airplanes, and many trains ran on oil. Today, every aspect of human life is fueled by data. When it comes to modern civilization, data is more like the air we breathe than the oil we burn. Unlike oil, data has become a renewable resource that we humans can create ourselves. This decade will end with almost 25 times as much digital data as when it began. With artificial intelligence, or AI, we're doing more with data than ever before. We call the digital infrastructure that supports this the cloud. While its name sounds soft and fluffy, in truth, the cloud is a fortress. Every time you look something up on your smartphone, you pull data from a mammoth data center, a modern-day marvel that almost no one gets to step inside. But if you're lucky enough to visit a data center, you'll better understand how the world now works. One of the best places to see the inner workings of the cloud is the world's capital of apples. The tiny town of Quincy, Washington, sits roughly 150 miles east of Seattle, off Interstate 90. Its location is no accident. Quincy is in the center of the state's agricultural basin, perched near a steep gorge.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?